we all bring who we are and our expectations into things. And I know it's often been said with images that there's always three people in every image. There's the photographer, there's the subject, and there's the viewer.
You've got this whole photographer in the pocket service as well. What the heck does that mean? What's that?
What I do is I connect to your phone and I take over the camera on your phone. So it's like having a photographer in your pocket. You are then not stuck with selfies or things like that. So it's a similar process, but a little limiting in the sense that I'm not going to be physically there. Our social media is a way for people to get to know us. Right. And, you know, the old adage, we do business with people we know, like, and trust. It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, once again to 15 Minute Friday on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm your host, Ben Albert, and on 15 Minute Friday, we bring actionable business tips in around 15 minutes. Hungry business people like yourself are busy, so let's get right into it. I'm here today with Marlena Semenza. Marlena, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm excited for this for personal reasons, but to introduce you to the listener at home, while earning a degree in photography, Marlena stepped onto a tour bus and began an adventure and a career. She uses her unique background, which includes storytelling, advertising, set design, and location scouting, to tell her clients' stories in the most powerful way. As an international photographer and visual strategist, Marlena's client base has included athletes, celebrities, WWE superstars, her and I kind of connected and joked about that, and public figures, including Miss North Carolina. She photographs clients in person as well as virtually through her service Photographer in Your Pocket, which is super interesting. That is just kind of a bio that is a piece to the puzzle, but is there anything we missed?
You know, I don't really think so. I think the bio pretty well covers it. And usually the piece that everybody focuses in on is WWFE anyway, because it seems to fascinate people, especially when they meet me, because I'm not really a big girl. So the fact that I was around all these really, really big guys and entered into that world, it's a little surprising for some people.
It's cool. And we often start with a quote, but we'll get there in a second.
Sure.
WWE as a photographer, that was almost like how you got your start, right? Like, where did it all begin?
Yeah, I lived in Connecticut at the time. That's where I went to college too. And a friend of mine was working in the art department down at the headquarters in Stanford. And I went down to apply for a job in photo editing. The director of photography came into the interview, and by the end of the interview, I was hitting the road with him and going to be his assistant. And that's how it all started. I had never watched wrestling, didn't know anything about it, didn't know what I was getting myself into, and it was an amazing experience.
Completely different discussion, so I'll ask you one question. Any big surprises that you would have never expected in that role?
I was surprised. Well, I didn't go into it with any expectations because, like I said, I never watched it. I would say one thing that maybe surprises people when I say it is how amazingly wonderful a lot of the wrestlers were to me. Several of them became kind of big brothery, and it was nice. It was really nice.
Well, cool. I'm already on a tangent. Let's talk the quote the quote of the day to start a discussion. What do you think is a great way to start our talk?
I guess probably that it's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. It's a quote by Henry David Thoreau, because we all bring who we are and our expectations into things. And I know it's often been said with images that there's always three people in every image. There's the photographer, there's the subject, and there's the viewer. And so I think that's why it's so important to be able to tell your story in images, because you want to be able to direct that narrative and have have people go where you want them to go.
It's powerful. And we're all, so a lot of us are part of companies. Every one of us has a personal brand. We're probably listening to this alone, not listening to it with the entire team. So let's start with the personal. So there's me, there's the photographer, and then there's the person viewing it. What am I trying to do? How do I know that the visual is going to match who I am as a business person? Like, where do I actually start with all of it?
I can tell you where I start with all of it. Cool. Is having a conversation with you about who are we talking to? Because I think a lot of the time too, we forget that there is somebody on the other end. There's somebody on the other side of every image. There's somebody on the other side of every post. There's somebody on the other side of every email. And so it's who is that person and who are you trying to reach? What do they need to know about you? What problem are you solving for them? What makes you uniquely qualified to solve it? What makes you different than anybody else in the same niche that is solving it? So once you drill down into all those things, I think your posts, your images will become stronger. And then it's a matter of, okay, well, now that we know what we're doing and who we're speaking to, how do we communicate that in a way that will tell a story that you don't necessarily have to have words for?
How do we do that? I feel like this is like a whole workshop, but how do we do that? So can we get microscopic and maybe just talk about an example?
Sure.
Would you rather just make it up on the spot, or we can start with a client you've worked with?
I can give you a client if you
want. Perfect. Perfect.
There is one of the first people that I worked with in doing this. She runs a nonprofit for people who have disabilities, and she gets them involved through adaptive sports. She is also in a wheelchair herself. She has spina bifida, and she is also has been a Paralympian. She is a champion kayaker, and all of these things that you wouldn't necessarily know at first glance. So the story that we wanted to tell, and we told it in three separate images. One was about when you have a disability, how it can feel like, especially when it's something that has come upon you later in life. A lot of the people that she works with have been in the military, and now they've lost a limb or have been paralyzed in some way, shape, or form. So how it can feel like you're in a dark tunnel, and how it's lonely and there's not a whole lot of light, but she wanted them to know that there's always light and you just have to move toward it. So we shot her in her wheelchair in a dark corridor, and the only light really was coming from an open door next to her. So that was the first image. And the second image was how she wanted people to think beyond the things that they can't do to the things that they can do. So we went to where she kayaks often. Yeah. She got into the kayak. I was on the dock. We flipped the wheelchair upside down, and I shot through the wheel of the wheelchair to her in the kayak to look beyond the things you can do, can't do, to the things you can. And then the last one was just her in the kayak doing her thing, because she wanted to leave on a positive note that, you know, there is so much that you are capable of and you can be doing. So those are the kinds of things, but it's really drilling down and figuring out, okay, how does this need to be told?
Yeah. And once you understand how does this need to be told, we can get creative and create these images. This was a scenario, it sounds like you were in person with her,
right?
But I'm super intrigued. Good friends of mine have actually used the service. You've got this whole photographer in the pocket service as well. What the heck does that mean? What's that?
Well, the reason for the name is because what I do is I connect to your phone and I take over the camera on your phone. So it's like having a photographer in your pocket. You are then not stuck with selfies or things like that. So it's a similar process, but a little limiting in the sense that I'm not going to be physically there. But we still talk through who's your audience? What kind of stories do we need to tell them? How do we tell that? Okay. And then, for example, there was a realtor that I worked with. And the first thing that I had him do when we started the session was, okay, show me around the room. And so he showed me around the room. Or one of the clients that you and I have in common, you know, with Terry, show me around and show me what I have to work with.
Yeah.
And because then I can see where the light is, I can see where the possibilities are. And then it becomes, okay, well, let's go use this and let's go use that. And then I just have to, hopefully they have another person on their end to be my voice activated tripod.
Yes.
And I just tell them, you know, go a little left, go a little right. And I have to be very clear on that direction because I have to kind of have them be me. But I'm still taking the images. I'm still processing the images. They're coming to me. I'm editing them, all that type of thing.
So there's no way we can replace your skill set with just a couple tips. Right. Obviously, there's value in having you there, actually knowing how to direct and where to put it and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But give us like a little nibble of, I know personally, like I have a tripod right here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to look for. It's what if someone, again, I recommend people actually do hire a professional, but if someone's trying to do it on their own, what mm-hmm. are some DIY tips that you'd recommend for them?
The first thing is focus on light first, background second. A lot of people get hung up on, but this is so pretty behind me, and they're backlit and they wind up being a silhouette, which can be very pretty depending on the situation, but a lot of times they'll get lost or they're not mindful enough of what's behind them. And so I'm seeing things that if you had gone a little left or a little right, it would have been a stronger image because now I'm not seeing that dump truck behind you. So I would say those two things to always keep in mind as your first two most important things is your light and your background.
Yeah, it's just because something's behind you doesn't mean the lighting is going to be perfect for right. this or that. Well, what happens if you have like a rainbow behind you? How would I know to position myself? Like, what should I look for in the sky to know where to put my body? Very specific question. I apologize.
Yeah, and without seeing what the light is doing, it's hard for me to answer.
Got it.
But sometimes it becomes, maybe you're not in that image. Maybe it is just the image of the rainbow and you can speak to that. Because when you, the way you show up in the light that's on you, if you don't look good in that image, it doesn't really matter what's behind you.
Mm. Yeah. The background's the tension and you look silly or bad or you're not smiling right. or the lighting's bad.
Yeah, or it looks unprofessional and you certainly don't want to come off looking unprofessional, especially if you're using this for branding and business.
Yeah, we're looking to brand ourselves, tell a story for our audience, actually connect with them. What mm-hmm. are other some like huge mistakes people make when they're, you know, personal branding themselves online through a visual, like a photograph?
I think just sticking to headshots all the time, because headshots are important, but they are not a brand. And so if you go to somebody's website who claims to be a brand photographer and that is all you're seeing are headshots, that's really not what it is. And the best way that I can explain it is like this. A headshot is like a book title and it gives us an introduction, but that's all that it does. But the reason why we invest in the book is always for the story. And so that's what brand photography should be doing. It should be telling your story because that's what people are going to wind up invested in. So just like a logo isn't a business brand, yeah. a headshot's not a personal brand.
And if anybody, I'm not big on Instagram personally, but if anyone goes to my Instagram, they'll see I make that mistake. I've got all these headshots with like quotes, but since there isn't much context as to where the head is, I'm probably making some mistakes in that department. We all do it sometimes.
Well, also, too, keep in mind that our social media is a way for people to get to know us. Right. And, you know, the old adage, we do business with people we know, like, and trust. Well, how are people going to get to know, like, and trust you if you don't show up for them and share with them?
Share a little extra about your world and who you tell that story. And and then you really can show up for them. Time flies by. Before we go into homework, how do people get in touch with you? So obviously, give us your location if someone can. I mean, do you travel all around, or what would it have to do to have in person?
I do travel some. Usually the people that I work with, it's more cost effective most of the time for them to come to me.
Cool.
But the ones that can't come to me, we can also discuss working virtually. And the best way to find me really is just go to my website, marlenasemenza.com, and you can get in touch with me there. You can see my work there. You can also have every link to social media on there. So that's the hub.
And it's in the show notes. I'll advocate. I'm looking at your portfolio and I'm like, I know that person. I know that person. Who isn't this person working with? So Marlena has the credentials. I know that to be a fact. And homework. I like to call it an integration assignment, because we learned a few things today, but if we don't go and start implementing them, what's the point? You know, just edutainment, I suppose. So based on our discussion, what homework would you recommend? Maybe just one or two things. What should the audience do to start integrating these things that they've learned today?
I think the first thing and most important thing is decide who you're having the conversation with. So some people call it an ideal client avatar. Other people will just say, you know, you just have to niche down. And I know so many people bristle at that because they think, oh, but I have something for everyone. And maybe you do, but not everyone's your ideal client. And not everyone is going to utilize or need what you do. So decide who that is. Who, if you were to carve your perfect client out of stone, what would they want? What would keep them up at night? What would their dreams and aspirations be? What would happen if they don't achieve those things? And how are you best suited to help them with their problem? And once you have done all that, then start to talk to them.
In photography, the photo is just one way, but unless we have that clarity, we're not going to get anything done, huh?
Right. Because even if your ideal client is an attorney that works on Wall Street or a mom of five, either one, there's nothing wrong with either one. But the things that they care about are probably going to be different. And the things that keep them up at night are probably going to be different. And so you have to get very clear on what kind of conversation you're having.
Powerful. Marlena, thank you for coming on the show. MarlenaSemenza.com. That's in the show notes. And we'll talk soon. I'm probably going to hire you myself, but we'll see. We'll see if my photos start looking better after this conversation.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.